Well, it was dubbed the Doped Olympics, a flashy Las Vegas tournament featuring athletes pumped up on performance-enhancing drugs, chasing world records for cash. But with only one world record set, the Enhanced Games didn't exactly deliver on its revolutionary promise. So what are the lessons that can be learnt? Benjamin Cohen is the Director General of the International Testing Authority. That's the non-profit organisation that manages anti-doping programs for the Olympics and other sports. He joined me earlier from Lausanne in Switzerland. Benjamin Cohen, before the Enhanced Games, you told the New York Times that if there were no world records, there could be questions about how effective anti-doping regimes are in clean sports. So why is that? What was your thinking?
Well, I was questioned about world records at the Enhanced Games. I think the message there was that, you know, we all know that a strict doping regime would definitely enhance performance, so that there would be no surprise if an athlete would be preparing with doping substances for a number of months and then compete at the Enhanced Game, that we would see some records. But definitely I spoke about some personal records about those athletes. In terms of world records, I think we've all seen what happened, and that, in fact, there were not too many.
What do you make overall of this event?
You know, it's interesting because I keep being questioned about the Enhanced Games. I think we're probably, with all due respect to the organizers, giving a little bit too much credit to this initiative. We're talking about 40 athletes who competed in front of 2,000 people in an arena, and the event was watched, I think, with just a few hundred thousand people online. So I think we're giving a little bit too much credit, in particular to those athletes who train hard all year round without any doping substances, and to all those coaches and parents who are trying to teach the values of sports and the Olympism to those athletes. So personally, I think I don't want to judge this event. I think it's an initiative that was built by some tech billionaires to sell products, and they have the right to do so. But when it comes to the ITA and the values we protect and we promote of efforts, joint efforts, and just fair play and clean sports, this is just a completely different initiative, and this is not the world we live in.
The recent Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina, no athlete tested positive for prohibited substances. That's the first time that's happened since the Winter Games in Japan in 1998. But how many substances are undetectable at the moment with current tests, substances of concern?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We can't know what we can't detect. That's for sure. I think it does trigger a number of questions in terms of the efficiencies of the analysis of the testing process, but also potentially on the other side, if we want to see the glass half full, it could also be that efforts are paying off, and that all the education that we're doing, the prevention, the testing that we do pre-games on all these Olympians ahead of the events, that they also understand that this is now too risky to take substances at the Olympics. There are 40% of all the participants were tested at the Olympics, and they know that. So we hope that the deterrent effect is working. Now, of course, I also want to remind you that we store all the samples that we collect, that we've collected in Milano, and we reanalyze them in the future. And we've seen that the reanalysis program of the London 2012 Olympics have led to over 70 samples testing positive 10 years later, with over 50 medals reallocated as a result of this program. So I think it would be premature to say that there's been no positive or no doping at the Milano Olympics. We have to be cautious and wait 8 years or 10 years, unfortunately, before drawing conclusions. So it's difficult to tell you if it's a fantastic result and that there's less and less doping at the Olympics, or if it's worrying and if the anti-doping system is no longer able to detect what athletes are taking today.
What's the statute of limitations with these retesting?
It's 10 years.
10, that's the maximum.
Yeah, that's the maximum. So for us, when we do a reanalysis program, what we're trying to do is to wait as long as possible to allow science to catch up if need be. But at the same time, we also want to, have more certainty about the result as soon as possible. So if we have any intelligence or if there is any issue, we would retest. We would do the retesting earlier. But otherwise, we would wait as much as possible to let science catch up.
Here in Australia, the National Anti-Doping Agency announced last week that it plans to expand drug testing in Australian sports in response to the soaring popularity of unregulated peptides in the broader community. Yeah. How concerning is the increased use of peptides and the way they're being promoted online and particularly on social media?
Yeah, I think the concern from a public health perspective is that, many of them are manufactured without, due regard to quality and regulation or any regulatory aspect. So the concern from a public health perspective is that those peptides that you can buy online can damage your health. And so it is great to hear that Sports Integrity Australia will invest in that and that it is a trend. I think you asked me about the enhanced games. We're just seeing that as a trend that society now is pushing for new products, weight loss products or just like growing muscles and all of that longevity, anti-aging, all those things that you find online. And I think it's just, what society is pushing for. It's a trend, but it is there, and I think it's going to be there to last. And so I think it's also a message for the regulatory bodies, the anti-doping authorities, to try and see which product can be tolerated or accepted and which should be absolutely banned because they are a danger for society.
The ITA announced this week it was partnering with the University of Queensland here in Australia on courses ahead of the Brisbane Olympics. What kind of skills and practices are you hoping Australia can hone ahead of the 2032 Games?
Yeah, we've just launched now this partnership with the University of Queensland. I was in Australia just last night and yesterday to do this opening. An anti-doping program at a Summer Olympic Games requires approximately 1,000 people. So it's not only, the people at the ITA who will do risk assessments, testing plans and some of the scientific or medical aspects, but we need a huge workforce to implement the program. So of course, we're going to implement it in close coordination with Sports Integrity Australia, but making sure that the local community is involved and that we have chaperones, that we have trained doping control officers, blood control officers, clean sport educators. It's a huge initiative. It's a huge endeavor to deliver and implement an anti-doping program at the Summer Olympics. And we thought that partnering with the University of Queensland would allow students, alumni, and whoever is interested to get an ITA training and certification and have the possibility and opportunity to take part in protecting the integrity of the Games.
Benjamin Cohen, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and have a great day.